Hi people, welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings. I hope you're having an amazing week so far. It's also a brand new month and I pray the best of the best blessings for you in this month. Good health, joy, happiness and just flat out all-round success in every aspect of your life. You know, unfortunately, the month started on a bit of a sad note when news of the passing of popular musician Davido's son broke, and it was devastating. You don't even have to be a parent to understand how devastating that must be. You know, my prayers go to the family and everyone who loved the little kid, and I pray that God gives them healing, because man, to lose a child, you know, requires serious healing. And another thing was that, you know, the news was all over the social media space in Nigeria, Africa, and, you know, even beyond the continent. And it triggered a lot of conversation, sparked a lot of conversation. And one of the conversations that I had around it was about the evil eye. You know, a lot of people were putting up comments about, somebody has done something to this boy, jealousy, envy, this. And, you know, I'm a Muslim, and I 100% fully, completely believe that there is evil eye. I 100% fully and completely believe that there are spiritual attacks, because we as Muslims believe that there are two sets of creations by God. They're the jinns and they're the mankind. The jinns belong in the spirit world. We cannot see them, but they can see us. We cannot influence them, but they can influence us. So they have free will just like us. So on the day of judgment, jinns and mankind will be, you know, judged. And in Islam, we don't believe that the devil, Satan, is a fallen angel. We don't believe that he was a jinn, because angels don't have free will. They do exactly as God instructs them. So Shaitan, the devil, is a jinn, you know, he's a very, very, very powerful jinn. And so we believe, you know, in the spiritual world. I mean, I even believe that the world that we live in is more spiritual than physical. And in Islam, we've been given many, 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 you know, verses of protection. We've been given daily adhkar. Adhkar are just like a collection of supplications and invocations that you make. We've been given daily adhkar that we recite in the mornings and the evenings, and all sorts of things to protect ourselves from the effect of the spiritual world and all sorts of things. And even the Prophet Muhammad, the best of the best of us, was on a spiritual attack. Somebody did juju for him, quote unquote, and the juju was intended to kill him, but it brought him only a mere disturbance. And after that incident, and you know, they found and God revealed what had happened, a lock of his hair had been tied around, I think, something and buried, and God revealed that. And after that, God also, you know, revealed the verses of protection and the verses of cure for him. So because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an exemplifier of our faith, you know, I know that Allah in his wisdom knew that we might have struggled with the theory of Islam. He sent us a practical example in the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anything that he does for us is a life lesson. So those verses of the Quran, the Ayatul Kursi, and the three last verses of the Holy Quran, and three last chapters, pardon me, of the Holy Quran, and many, many other, you know, verses of the Quran are protective verses, and they guard and protect us via the mercy of God, you know, against, you know, the spiritual world and spiritual attacks and things like that. So now, let me focus mainly on evil eye. So evil eye is just a gaze that someone can put upon you. It's not literally just looking. It's like a spiritual gaze that someone can put upon you. And it stems from envy. It stems largely, the main root cause of evil eye is envy and jealousy. And there are different types of evil eye. There are mainly four broad categories of evil eye. So there's evil eye that can be self-imposed. So from arrogance or self-appreciation or self-admiration, you can put evil eye upon yourself. So for example, you're always staring in the mirror, thinking how beautiful you look, or how, you know, marvelous your hair is, how gorgeous, you know, you can place evil eye upon yourself. The second category of evil eye is from people that actually love you and do not intend your harm in any way. So somebody can love you, can have a close friend, you can have a close relative that loves you, but there's still some envy in their heart, or maybe jealousy in their heart. Maybe they love your life and they wish they had your life, or they love your children or something. They can place evil eye on you. The third category are people that actually intend your harm. They cannot stand your guts. They're envious of you. They're jealous of you. They don't think you deserve the things that you have. They can give you evil eye. And then the last category is evil eye from the jinns, the spirit world, which, like I said, we have no influence over, but they have influence over us. They can influence us if we let our guards down. So having said all this, for me, I think that the summary is that you cannot escape the evil eye. It can come at you from any direction. You can be living with someone. Your sister can inflict you with evil eye. Your house help that lives in your home, you know, at the core of your comfort, can give you evil eye just because they want your life. You can be the most modestly dressed person. You can even be a niqabi, like you cover everything but your eyes and your hands, and you go to work. Somebody can give you evil eye because of your intelligence or because of what you bring to the table. So it can come at you from any angle. So for me, it doesn't make sense that people spend so much time running away from something that they don't even know what direction it's going to come from, when they can be spending all that time and energy building a fortress against it. So for me, this is where I have an issue. There's so many people that are so scared of the evil eye and its effects that they fear is more than they fear the protection that God has promised us if we do certain things. So they need something, you know, physical to guard them against it. They need something tangible to guard them against it. And, you know, as human beings, we like the tangible. We like things that we can see and feel. So they will go to malams and alfars and all these people that will give them amulets and things to drink and things to put in their car. But I'm like, how many are you going to drink? How many amulets are you going to take? How many, you know, how many things are you going to, you know, try to guard yourself against when you don't even know where your attack is coming from? How about you follow the instructions that God Almighty has given us and build a fortress that is impenetrable from the top, from the bottom, in front, behind, left, right, even from within? How about that? This is where I have a problem with people going on about the evil eye, because it drives people to a state of paranoia and anxiety, and they get so paralyzed, like deers caught in headlights, when we've been taught the actions to take. Say your morning and evening adhkar. Say your dua before you leave home. Say dua before, say simple, even a simple bismillah before you perform basic life functions, wearing clothes, eating, drinking. You know, say your dua before you go into the bathroom. Allah knows where these attacks can come from, and He has given us ways to prevent, you know, them from reaching us. And even if they do reach us, because nobody is foolproof, there's certain things that Allah will permit, you know, because they can bring you higher. Like someone can throw you evil eye that will bring you a certain level of illness, and that illness will be kafara for you. It will remove, you know, sins from your life. And Allah knows that, yes, this person needs some sins removed. So Allah would allow the effect of that person's evil eye to come in. Allah is the all-wise. He's the one that knows things. But I do believe that if you protect yourself firmly the way that Allah has taught us, the evil eye will have only, even if it comes your way, the effects can never be as much as if you're unprotected. Like, if someone shoots an arrow at you and you're in armor, or someone strikes you with a sword and you're in armor, it can still leave a dent. It can still leave, you know, some sort of, you know, damage to your armor, but it won't be as impactful as if you weren't wearing any armor. So this is what I'm saying. Why spend so much time fearing something that you don't even know what direction it will come from, when you can spend all that time building a fortress, when you can spend all that time building security and protecting yourself from it? So there was somebody that I can't remember if, to be honest, I can't even remember if somebody told me this or it was something that came into my head. But I remember something about somebody saying that she would not wear jewelry, she would not wear her gold for a certain event because she did not want people to put evil eye on her. And I'm like, I don't understand. In my mind, I remember when I heard that or when I thought about that or whatever, I was like, so you would hide everything that you have because you're worried that somebody's going to place evil eye on you? And to me, it's as simple as do things with the right intention. If you're going for an event, for example, and you're wearing some sort of jewelry because you want to pet them or you want to tension them, so you want everybody to see it, it's a whole different ballgame. But if you worked hard, you used your money to buy jewelry that you like for you, and you want to wear it because it makes you feel and look beautiful, for example, and you've made your dua, you've done everything that you want to do, it's not your business what somebody else thinks. It's not your business if somebody else is envious of that due to their inadequacy. That's not your business. Your business is to do what you can do to protect yourself. You can, like I said, evil eye can come from any direction, and it doesn't even have to affect you directly. It can affect your children, it can affect your business, it can affect your health, it can affect your wealth. So how many places do you want to be hiding yourself from? And, you know, okay, will you say, oh, I won't go to work, or when I go to work, I won't contribute so that somebody will not give me evil eye because of my intelligence? Or will you tell your children not to be smart kids so that some parents will not put evil eye on them? No, you're going to live your life and you're going to guard and protect the things that matter to you in the ways that God Almighty has shown us to protect them. So this is just what I'm saying. Like, there is evil eye. We know that it exists. We know that it's potent. You know, God can even use it as a causative agent to take life. But I have a problem with people insinuating that evil eye on its own has power to take life. There's nothing anybody can say to convince me that anything has power to take life except that God has permitted it, because only God has, you know, power over life and death. And even when he gives it, like when he gave Jesus the ability to bring Lazarus back to life, it was him that gifted Jesus that ability. Jesus did not have the power to bring Lazarus back to life. So my thing is just, you have to be very careful about utterances and, you know, things like this, especially when people are hyper emotional and people are sad, especially around death or illness. It's not evil eye. Even if you assume that, oh, the boy was in the public, you know, space so much, his parents' happiness was unsure, people were jealous of them. Yes, God can use that jealousy and that envy and that whatever. Maybe somebody threw them really powerful evil eye. Yes, it's possible. And that could have been a causative agent of his death. I'm not even saying it's not possible. It's very possible. But all I'm saying is that there is no eye evil enough. There's no devil powerful enough to intend harm to someone that God has said that harm will not touch. So even if everybody in the world conspired against that family and shot evil eye at that child, if God had not willed for him to go at that time, he would never have passed on. And another interesting conversation that this triggered for me was, you know, how different the concept of life and death and, you know, dying is in my faith compared to, you know, maybe Christianity. Because I remember reading things about people saying, oh, God does not take the lives of children, this is the devil at work. But in Islam, the devil is not that powerful. The devil is a morpher of realities, so he can make things, you know, seem bigger than they are. He can, you know, mess with your mind and things like that, but he doesn't have the power of life and death. The devil is not that powerful. Only Allah, only God has the power of life and death. So this is my little talk on evil eye and whatnot. In summary, evil eye can come from any direction, and I believe with absolute certainty that many times many of us have been under its effects and we didn't even realize. And sometimes, you know, we realized and we did what we needed to do. But you cannot spend your entire existence running after your own shadow. You cannot live in a state of paranoia and anxiety. Because if you think about all the places that evil eye can come from, well, you will not live. You will just be stuck. You will literally be paralyzed from just fear. So instead of using all that energy to be fearful and having anxiety, use all that energy to build your relationship with God, to guard yourself and protect yourself by his mercy from the things that he has revealed to us that give us that protection. So that's my little talk on the evil eye. I hope that it makes sense. If you have any contributions, corrections or whatnot, you can send me, you know, a message in the community section, or you can just DM me a message via Instagram or whatever avenue that you would like. I wish you an amazing best of the week, and I hope that you will be here listening to me again next weekend. Bye, guys.